It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
One thing to remember is that every person listening, and both of us and everyone we know, is always in at least five protected classes. We all have a race, a national origin, a gender, and so forth. So I think that concept is important to recognize that we're all protected.
Attorney Susan Scovel at Housing Opportunities Made Equal discusses the enduring problem of housing discrimination, the various forms it takes, and what you can do about it. And in our weekly question and answer session, we follow up with a questioner on last week's news item about Richmond's Access Now program to provide health care to uninsured low-income residents in the greater Richmond area. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR.
Ain't gonna let discrimination turn me around, turn me around.
And now, this week's news you can use. In May and June, the IRS sent economic stimulus payments, or tax rebates, to more than 130 million households. Eligible individuals got up to $600, married couples got up to $1,200, and parents got an additional $300 for each eligible child younger than 17. To get a rebate, you needed a valid Social Security number, $3,000 of qualifying income in 2007, and to not be a dependent on anyone else's tax return. If you were eligible and didn't get a tax rebate, you probably didn't file a 2007 federal income tax return. But it's not too late. If you didn't file a 2007 federal income tax return, but qualify for a tax rebate, file your tax return no later than October 15, 2008. The Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program provides help to low and moderate income taxpayers. Call 1-800-906-9887 for help. In other news, contractors known as gypsies are wandering around Central Virginia offering to do cheap work that, instead, will rip you off. If you're approached by a contractor claiming to have extra materials who can do work for a super deal, don't fall for it. Insist on a written, fixed-price contract to include the name and address of the contractor, license number, terms of payments, start and finish dates, and warranty terms. Carefully read and agree with all contract terms before signing. Ask for references and insist upon seeing a state contractor's license. If you're not sure about the license, contact the Virginia Department of Professional and Occupational Regulation at 367-8511. You also can check the contractor's complaint record with the Virginia Department of Consumer Affairs by calling 786-2042. Lastly, check the need for a building permit. The contractor must obtain the permit in his name to assure that the contractor, not the homeowner, is liable for any building code violations. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's legal term of the week is foreclosure. Foreclosure means that if you're paying for a house due to a mortgage or home loan, the creditor can foreclose upon or take back the house if you don't pay in full and on time. Almost all mortgages in Virginia are secured by a deed of trust. A deed of trust is a deed of the property from you to a trustee who can sell your property if you don't pay the mortgage payments on time, in full, every month. In Virginia, foreclosures are done outside of court rather than through the court system. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal term of the week.
It's time for our weekly question and answer session, and we're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Yvonne. I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Yvonne. Thanks for being here. What's your question for us?
My question is the medical question. Medicare. Why is it that when you're working, when you're receiving SSI and you're working part-time jobs, and then when you make an X amount of dollars, that your Medicare will be cut when you have medical issues?
That's an excellent question, and let me just clarify some of the terminology. When you were getting SSI, were you also getting at the same time Medicare, or were you in fact getting Medicaid?
Medicaid.
Okay, and did you continue to receive Medicaid for some period of time after you left SSI and you were working?
Yes.
And for how many months did you receive the Medicaid after you left SSI and were working?
It was close to about a year, and then I got a letter stating that I made too much and it was going to be cut.
Well, the sad news, Yvonne, is that's exactly how the Medicaid program is supposed to work. Those two programs, SSI and Medicaid, are for people with low income and few resources. If you get additional income, then you will lose both programs. You lose the SSI pretty much right away. You get to stay on Medicaid usually for 9 months after you lose the SSI, just as a transition. But after you lose both the SSI and the Medicaid due to too much income, you've lost that government support. And the sad thing is, you have fallen into the pool of roughly 57,000 low-income people in the Richmond area who are uninsured. Last week we had a news item which should be of interest to you. There is a new program in the city of Richmond called Richmond Access Now, which I think you would be eligible for. You have to have lived in the Richmond area for at least 3 months, have no health insurance, not qualify for any government medical assistance program, and have a family income less than 200% of the federal poverty level, which I think all of which applies to you. Now, the way you get on this program is there are 11 free clinics in the Richmond area, and there's also the Richmond and Enrico and Chesterfield public health departments, and there are also federally qualified health centers like the VA Medical Center. But any one of those can screen you for the program. My choice, I guess, would be the Richmond Public Health Department. If you're found eligible, you get something called an Access Now card. And that allows the program to refer you to any one of more than 400 local physicians, and they can also refer you, if needed, to three area hospital systems. There's Bon Secours, HCA, and VCU. And that Access Now card is accepted just like a health insurance card. The Access Now program can also help you with your prescription drugs. I assume you have prescription drug needs?
Yes, I have prescriptions, about six of them that I have to get every month.
I think the Access Now program can help you with that as well. A lot of the drug companies, perhaps because they make a lot of money off of paying customers, have programs that will provide free drugs. Now, not every drug is covered, but free drugs to low-income people such as yourself who are uninsured, have no other source of medication, and it just requires a doctor to do the proper paperwork and make the proper referral. The Access Now program in Richmond can be reached by going to their website, which is accessnow.ramdocs.org, or just call 643-6631. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Ain't gonna let injustice turn me around. Turn me around. No, turn me around. Ain't gonna let injustice turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom.
We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on 97.3 WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio. And we're here at the offices of Housing Opportunities Made Equal, or HOME, and we're talking with attorney Susan Scovel. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you for having me.
And we're here to talk about fair housing. Let's start with the most obvious question. What is fair housing?
Fair housing is really about ensuring equal access to housing for all people. And essentially what that means is that people's housing choices should not be restricted by factors about them that have nothing to do with their ability to be good tenants.
Now, we've often heard it said that an employer has employment at will. You can hire and fire for any reason at all, good reason, bad reason, or no reason. Is that true of housing in terms of, you know, rental or selling, that you can rent or sell for any reason at all, good reason, bad reason, or no reason?
I think it's similar in the sense that a landlord or other housing provider can decide not to rent to somebody for a good reason, like they have no income, they have horrible credit, they burned down the last three places they lived in. That would be a good reason to turn somebody down or to evict somebody. They don't pay the rent. And they can probably refuse to rent to somebody or evict them for no reason at all. What the fair housing laws prevent is discrimination in housing that results in people being rejected or evicted for reasons that have to do with discriminatory housing practices. In other words, persons in a protected class, and that's the reason there is a bad housing choice.
So what are the protected classes that are covered by the fair housing law?
Well, we have two fair housing laws that operate in Virginia, the federal fair housing law and the state fair housing law. And they both have seven protected classes that are the same, and then Virginia adds an extra one. So those protected classes are race, color, religion, national origin, sex, meaning gender, familial status, which means families with children, people with disabilities. And then Virginia also covers elderliness is a protected class, which means people 55 and older.
All right, let's take those one at a time. What do we mean by discrimination based on race?
We mean what people commonly think of in terms of race, whether you're black, you're white, you're Chinese, whatever your racial background is, and all races are protected. So historically, what we see is discrimination by whites against African Americans, but it would be just as illegal for an African American landlord to discriminate against a white applicant or for a Chinese landlord to discriminate against a European applicant.
Now, how does race in any manner differ from discrimination based on color? I always thought those were more or less the same thing.
Well, they're similar, and the protected classes actually overlap a little bit in order to provide greater protection for people. But color essentially means your skin tone. And people come in a wide range of skin tones, and occasionally we see discrimination that is not based on race, but is in fact based on skin color. And so an example of that might be for a light-skinned African-American landlord to discriminate against a dark-skinned African-American applicant. It's not a race issue, it is a color issue. Sometimes we also see it, something might present to us looking like an issue about national origin or ethnicity. For instance, it may look like someone's experiencing discrimination because they are Hispanic, but what we might find is that dark-skinned Hispanics experience the discrimination and light-skinned Hispanics do not. So that's a color issue.
Now, you mentioned discrimination based on national origin. Would those protections apply to persons regardless of their citizenship, whether they're documented or undocumented?
Yes. The protection under the Fair Housing Law is about national origin, which means the place that you came from or your ancestors came from. And it protects all residents of the United States, and citizenship is not a prerequisite. You're not required. It protects non-citizens and illegal residents as well. The Fair Housing Law doesn't require that you be here lawfully. Filing a fair housing complaint doesn't in and of itself trigger anything. A report by the respondent, the person filed against, if they reported a complaining person to the to immigration authorities, might be seen as an instance of retaliation. And so it actually could get quite complicated.
It sounds that way. Now, you mentioned discrimination based on religion as well as gender.
Yes.
As well as family status. I suppose religion and gender is fairly straightforward.
Right. Although religion also covers no religion. You know, it's having a preference for a particular religion or having a preference that you must have a religion. So
that's an interesting wrinkle. And are there any interesting wrinkles in the gender-based discrimination, or is that pretty straightforward as
It's
well?
Pretty straightforward, but it really means straight-up gender. And I think the only couple of tricky things are that under state and federal laws, sexual orientation is not included. Some localities and other states have protections in place for the category of sexual orientation, but not Virginia. But it's basically straightforward.
And family status. Now, that's probably a bit more complicated. What do we mean by discrimination in housing based on family status?
Well, unlike what it sounds like, where it's any kind of family combination, it specifically means families with children. So in order to trigger the familial status protection, there has to be somebody over 18 with responsibility for somebody under 18.
Okay. And you mentioned disability or handicap. What is referred to by that type of discrimination?
Disability is defined as any person with a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activity. So it's all the common things that we would think of in terms of physical disabilities. It includes mental disabilities. It includes positive HIV status or AIDS. It covers recovering substance abusers. It does not cover people currently using illegal substances.
Okay, and what specific rules are there for access about access for the handicapped?
Well, the disability protections really cover four areas. The first is just plain old don't discriminate against somebody because they have a disability. The second is housing providers are required to permit people with disabilities to make reasonable modifications and changes to physical structures if those changes are necessary for a person with a, for instance, a mobility impairment to be able to live in some premises. Generally, that cost is on the tenant, although not always. It also requires that landlords make reasonable accommodations in their policies and procedures if those accommodations are necessary for a person with a disability to have full enjoyment of the premises. And the basic simple example might be something like a service animal. If a person with a disability has a service animal and the housing provider has a no pets policy, a service animal is not a pet, and it would be a reasonable accommodation to allow them to have the service animal. And then the fourth area is for new multifamily construction that's come online since 1991, which actually is a pretty long time now. New multifamily construction is supposed to meet 7 basic accessibility requirements. And they're pretty straightforward. They allow a person with a mobility disability, like using a wheelchair, to be able to get around the unit, be able to use the environmental controls, and to have usable kitchens and bathrooms, as well as reinforced walls and bathrooms so you could put grab bars up.
Now, you hear all kinds of statistics about what percent of the population has a disability or handicap that would allow them protection under fair housing laws. What's your ballpark figure?
I think that numbers I've seen sort of range between 15% and 25% of the population, but that's a kind of a shifting number because some people are permanently disabled and some people have temporary disabilities. I think one of the important concepts to think about with respect to this protection is that you're born and you have a race or you have a national origin, you may have children, you don't have them now, you have them later, and then hopefully they move out again. But disability is kind of unique in that, you know, any of us could become disabled. I'm not going to wake up and become Hispanic in the morning, but I could, be disabled tomorrow unexpectedly. And so this is a protected class that I think we all should be mindful of in that way.
And the last one that you mentioned that's protected under Virginia law, although not federal law, is elderliness. What's the age limit there? What are we talking about here?
The age there is 55 and older. And the law basically protects individuals of that age from, for instance, having a landlord tell them, well, we don't want to rent to elderly people because you may forget to turn your stove off, or maybe you're too old to take care of yourself, or maybe you just ought to go to a nursing home. That would violate this this provision. I, with respect to elderliness, there is sort of one little twist, if you want me to tell
Please.
You, on the familial status protection that protects families with children. There are certain kinds of housing that are exempt from that provision. And when we talk about nursing homes and housing for older persons and retirement communities, if in fact they only are set up for people over 55 or over 62, they can restrict access by families with kids.
Now, if someone is in a protected class, and it sounds like a lot of people are, and they're discriminated against, what should he or she do?
One thing to remember is that every person listening, and both of us and everyone we know, is always in at least 5 protected classes. We all have a race, a national origin, a gender, and so forth. So I think that concept is important to recognize that we're all protected. But if someone believes that they have experienced a discriminatory housing transaction, then there are a couple of different things they can do. One is they can call home. And our number is 804-354-0641. And we're happy to talk to someone about their housing experience and help them figure out whether or not discrimination was an issue and what occurred. The other thing is Virginia has a fair housing office. And the Virginia Fair Housing Office, their number is 1-888-551-5247. And a person can file a complaint with the Virginia Fair Housing Office, and they will investigate that complaint and determine whether or not a discriminatory housing practice has occurred.
Well, it's sad that the problem exists, and it's really good that there are organizations like HOME and the Virginia Fair Housing Office to help people with those problems. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's top three tips are about getting rental housing repaired. The first tip is to be current in your rent and stay current. The second tip is to give written notice to your landlord about your housing problems, or be sure someone else, such as the building inspector, gives your landlord written notice. The third tip is to wait a reasonable period of time for your landlord to make the repairs. If you follow these three tips and your rental housing still isn't fixed, you can sue your landlord to make the repairs. You bring your next month's rent to the General District Court, pay it to the court, and file a tenant's assertion. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered, or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. Virginia's motor vehicle lemon law is one of the best in the nation. But how much do you know about it? And what would you do if you got stuck with a lemon? And if consumer activist Ralph Nader got to pick a cabinet position, which one would he choose? His answer may surprise you. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when we feature interviews with private attorney John Gale about the lemon law and with Ralph Nader, following his recent appearance in Richmond. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Redbright.